We're
okay.
Ready. We're ready.
All right. Good evening. Would you join me in a flag salute, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton County of Hunterdon, state of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. Could I have a roll call, please?
Councilwoman Swetha.
Here.
Councilman Papadopoulos.
Here.
Councilman Malay.
Here.
Council President Tiernan.
Present.
Mayor Higgins.
Here. We got a full house.
Yep.
Okay, first item up is the consent agenda, and it's a small one. As everybody knows, these are routine items that can be approved in unison or all at once. One is authorizing a premium refund for block 79.01, lot 2.3207, authorizing the execution of a developer's agreement with Shabbat of Hunterdon, block 90, lot 2.15, and authorizing a contract with Beckage Seal Coating to seal coat the drives and parking lot at Bun Park and Annandale Hose. Any questions?
Yeah, you're going to have to speak up a little because of the fan.
Still?
No.
Oh, all right.
That Beckage Seal Coating quote looks really reasonable for those two lots. We had a couple other estimates.
Mm-hmm.
All right, terrific.
We got different co-ops in the state contract.
Very good.
Yeah, where is Beckage from? Do you know? Where is Beckage from?
Well,
are they local or?
I think Chester.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
They do a lot of work here.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're good quality.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Swetha.
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malay.
Yes.
Council President Matirin.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes. So now we're up to the first public comment period. We've only got two members of the public, one of whom's going to talk anyway. So, all right, let's move on then to reports. Mr. Kochanowski.
So the REC committee met, and they're happy they're getting their building. They thank Jess for working hard on that. And they had a new member join that committee. He eventually showed up when we were done. He seems to be a nice guy. And the numbers were a little bit down for the summer rec program. Mm. And Tom's equating it to the lower enrollment in the schools, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
I'd agree. Yep.
But other than that, everything is on target. That's my only report.
Okay.
All right. The sewer authority met on September the 6th. They authorized a couple payments for pump station upgrades. They are preparing for their mediation session with the town of Clinton. And apparently it's going to cost about $500 per hour.
Ooh.
Split three ways. And they'll have a minimum 3 hours for the first one. And that first mediation session is scheduled for before the next meeting, and they're hopeful that their two representatives from the sewer authority can reach an accommodation with the town and the borough of Highbridge. I'm just trying to see what else. Oh, and there was an accident last year at the STEM pump station where someone drove into it. I think it was last year.
Was that on Center Street?
Yes, next to STEM.
A couple people.
And they're finally getting around to getting that repaired. They received an insurance estimate because they're going to have to actually replace the whole pump station building.
Whoa. I assume they're going to put in tank traps or something around it.
They had just built it, and they had bollards. So it was kind of really amazing that it was struck. The person who hit it did a bang-up job.
Get bigger bollards.
Avoiding everything. Damage the generator and the whole bit. So they're working on that. And that's all I have. Finance Committee, I think we're going to try to meet October 31st.
Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Hopefully it's not too scary.
That's a good sign. We're going to want to move that thing.
Stork met on September 5th. I was at my very last back-to-school night that night. All I do know is that any kind of activity with them over on Beaver Avenue has ceased. I'm not doing anything over there as far as taking any materials. September 18th, I met with two reps from North Hunterdon Educational Foundation in regards to the running of the Lions. They had asked a few questions about maybe getting an EMT over there. I did ask Jesse. Thinking that maybe we could, I think the 9:30 to 12, I'll be getting back to them about this. I just wanted everything finalized. So like 9:30 to 12, just, you know, help them out a little bit. And I think I talked to some of you about directing traffic. They asked if mayor and council can...
I'll be there.
Yeah, all of us up there with our T-shirts and directing traffic because they can't shut down. I know you can't.
Yeah, my Frogger uniform.
They can't shut down the traffic on regional, so if we could just help.
So we'll have to get some guidance from our friendly police.
Get the vests.
Get the vests and stop. What we should do, what we shouldn't do.
Yeah, crossing guard.
I'll try and get someone in my place.
It's a long way. I don't know.
Yeah, we got it covered. Yeah. It's only one road.
plenty
of help.
Just your T-shirt size I need. You can just email that to me. We will have a police officer in the area, but if there's... somewhere else he needs to be, he's going to be leaving. And they also asked if maybe we can maybe do that big flag with the two fire trucks.
Oh, that's a different... We can ask.
I said don't get your hopes up.
You saw my 2 cents. I don't know if you responded or not.
That you don't want to set a precedence or something like that, right?
You do once and say this is our inaugural cross-country thing, but you can't do that every time.
Right. Well, so those are things I just basically discussed. And also, thank you guys. We all contributed to the sponsorship. Council pitched in, and we are donating $100 for them. And we'll be on their website and everything. But they do want council and mayor and all that to be involved in it. So.
That's our monthly salary.
That's not funny. Jesse and I were busy last week. September 19th, we had 7:30 in the morning over at the dog park. We had the book boxes installed with the girls, and their families took some pictures. Jay, of course, did a great job installing it all. And I guess that's basically it. I explained to you what they are. And on September 20th, Jesse and I met with Mr. Deutsch regarding the art program. They changed things up in regards to who was in charge of it. So we just had to finalize what the teachers are doing, who's going to be installing, and whatnot. So, yeah, I think it was
interesting. Good.
And the newsletter with the dog park, the little...
Hasn't that come out yet?
Yes, I got it the other day. It looks great.
Oh, great.
I mean, I think it's for those who didn't know about it, everyone will know about it.
Nice issue.
Good. I'm glad. I didn't get my mailbox yet. Oh, and just one thing, Recreation bought 2 dog little toys.
I saw them,
Yes, I have some pictures if you want to see. It's really adorable. And, of course, we have that Girl Scout who's going to eventually be doing more things in it, but we all thought it'd be nice to have something in there for the time being. And I think that's it.
Okay. Things are pretty quiet on my end. I do have a question for council. I think I could probably do this anyway, but I'd like your opinion. We met with the Quiet Zone crowd, and two folks from DOT's Public Affairs section and Mr. Railroad Crossing for the state of New Jersey, Todd Hurt. Good discussion. It looks like there's no particular way this is not going to cost a fair amount of money. It's one of these things where if one wants the trains to stop blowing the whistles, one has to install what are called secondary safety measures. And it could be a road divider. It could be a local horn, if you can believe it. It could be additional gate arms. The road divider would be the cheapest, but you need somebody to go out there and really measure it and look at it carefully to understand if we can do that or not. The sort of expert in the world is an engineer that testified or was here in front of council one evening when I wasn't here. The cost of his report is $2,000. I'd kind of like to split it. The folks that would like a quiet zone are willing to pay $1,000, 50% of it, and I wonder if we would be willing to kick in the other half. get a definitive answer on this whole thing with some pretty good information in it. I've seen the one he did for Branchburg. Jesse was kind enough to bring us over there for that. And it could be, I think, useful for future ideas about
grant,
getting...
And grant applications, I would think, is
correct.
More what that we are targeting, because there's... Financially, there's no way the township can afford on its own to make that kind of improvement.
That's correct. And Todd remarked that in many, many cases, this is where the inquiries end up, where, you know, you're asking general township taxpayer funds to get tossed into a bucket to, you know, to benefit a very small group of people. And lots of towns have, you know, gotten there, but usually after a report, and I think the engineer would also suggest what grant funds might be available that would, you know, fund it and make it possible. I think the odds are relatively long, but, you know, we've come pretty far with discussions with the neighbors and the state. So, like your 5 cents as to whether we should, you know, go the next step and get a definitive report.
So the engineer for $2,000 is going to tell us if we can use the road dividing method.
He will tell us exactly what safety devices are present. It gets very technical, but there may or may not be a laundry list of some electronic devices the railroad would have to add to the cabinet at that intersection.
It's basically a full analysis of the current state of the
right.
crossing and what would need to occur.
Okay.
Right.
And what could be done and what could not be done to make right. the changes required to make it a quiet zone.
And if he follows the Branchburg template, he'd give us a cost for gate arms, he'd give us a cost for that local horn, give us a cost for dividers if they're possible.
So he will do all this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That'll be in the contract.
And then it's all information that could be used to make an application for grant funding yeah. to do it. And without it, you really can't make it.
Yeah, we're at stop.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, for a small amount of money, to potentially leverage it for a larger amount of money that we could use to address an issue that we wouldn't normally be able to address, I'm okay with $1,000.
Yeah.
If we were talking 20, I would say maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah, in the absence of doing nothing, we have to do something, and this seems to be the right next step.
Yeah. I think it would be acting in good faith with the neighbor.
Right. What if they say no?
What do you mean?
The other 1,000.
Then we don't do it.
Okay. I just want to get that on record.
Oh, no. It's a... You know, yeah.
It's authorization for $1,000.
Yeah.
I'm good for it.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll have to do a contract.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's all I had. So, Mr. Landon, you're next up. Oh, sorry, Dan.
Just one real quick thing, which I think is a great idea, is that next month the PTA for the Clinton Township K-8 is going to host two events. One's a forum and the other's a meet and greet for the candidates that are running for the Board of Education. They've got 4 positions that are open. I forgot now if they have 5 or 6 candidates for the 3 positions that are for 3-year term. They've got 2 candidates for the 1 position that's going to be the completion.
I thought I saw a total of 7, so it would make sense if it was then 5 and 5.
It could be 5. I know that there's at least 2, if not 3 more, that are running for the 3 open positions, which is great. So this is an opportunity to go to a forum which is going to be a fixed question debate. I always personally find those a tad interesting. But it's the PTA will ask questions of the candidates and they will then respond. Sometimes that's interesting, at least from my perspective and my humor, is that candidate 1 makes a statement, candidate 2 says me 2, candidate 3 says me 3, and
yeah.
It goes on. So we'll see how that goes. But it's a great opportunity. They're going to do that Thursday, October the 4th, from 7 to 9 p.m. And this is everything. They're going to have it at the North Hunterton High School Theater, the forum. And then on October the 22nd, which is a Monday, from 6:30 to 7:30, they've got the meet and greet, and that's going to be at the Clinton Township Middle School. So it's a good opportunity. I think it's a great idea to start seeing some candidates, get an idea. I know I've talked to people who have voted in past elections. Mm-hmm. They voted for so-and-so. You ask them why, they have no clue. Because they haven't met the candidate, they haven't seen any data. Here's an opportunity to meet the candidate, see the data, see what's there, and make hopefully a
It's a very underappreciated election.
Yeah, it really is.
Considering the outsized impact it has on property taxes.
And it's a very unappreciated position.
Yes.
Until something happens and people aren't happy. You hear people's complaints, but never their
comments. Not as well compensated as
we are. Happy people either, though.
It really should be flipped with our position. You know, they should be spending all their time looking at the Board of Education candidates versus us. Mm-hmm. When you think of the dollars involved.
Yep. Well, and honestly, the degree of difficulty, the amount of paper you get, and it's a taxing job.
Thanks for bringing that up, Dan.
No, yes, sir.
All right. Let's see. Our canine officer started training full-time this week. That's a good thing. Related to that, though, we'll need a new OEM coordinator. I don't think you can do that with the dog. It'd be too much.
We might need you to speak up, too.
So anyway, we're also updating our, several of you remember years ago, you had to fill out forms for your family. If we have an anthrax attack, you have to get, they need to be updated. So I sent all of you, or Carla sent you folks, but I sent them out to police, fire, rescue, public works. You had one. It's old, though.
Really?
Yeah.
You still can't hear me?
I can hear you. Okay. I don't remember getting that for you.
Yeah, well, I have one for you, but you still have to update it. Oh. So they're supposed to be updated annually. We have a roster that says...
Can I have help filling it out?
Pardon? Yeah. It is important because if there's something bad happens, those folks, we have to go pick it up, pick up the antidote at the county. And this all started because we got a letter from the county saying they're having a drill. Who's going to respond to the drill? So we'll go pretend we picked up the vaccine. Then we will come back. We all vaccinate ourselves, and then we would go out and help the public, because the public, in theory, would be quarantined. Anyway, you should get an email on that, you folks, everybody else. We have to have that updated in the next month. We got the Lion Run coming up. That's huge. And that's a big weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is the dog Halloween parade, and Sunday is the Lion Run, so that'll be good. We will need some vests, Ryan. Okay.
One.
We'll be paving Bunt Park and Station 1 if the weather cooperates first week of October. So for Bunt Park, the road and driveway will be closed. The parking lot's closed. You can access it through the grass, like a grass driveway along that fence line.
Will there be, off of red, be a signpost?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it'll be signpost. We'll have chains. It has to be, you know, no traffic for at least 48 hours to settle. So that's how it's happening. We're coordinating with Bob about the fire trucks. Maybe they do mutual aid for a couple days. You don't want a fire truck on the new blacktop. So that's all happening. Denise and I spent most of the day, again, with our folks from Green Acres working on our Rossi so we can get our funding from Green Acres. I think we're this close. We went through item by item that they had, that we had. What is on the open space register? What is not? What is an easement? It was an exercise, but it's worth it because we should be getting some funding by the end of the year. You know, I mean, that's huge. Once that's done, which again should be, a week or so, you would adopt. Then we have to do the open space recreation plan that goes to you and the planning board. Tom's working on it. Hit down and dirty. This is an easy one. We got to get it done so we get funding, and then you can deal with it later. But that's happening. This is all good news. So. Comcast is not here because we're still working on it. We're going back and forth with the contract. I've had comments from your partner about language in the agreement, and we're still working with some of the neighborhoods getting coverage. But there is positive light at that tunnel, too. I think we might get there. And then we've started the parking lots for Lion Country and Prospect. So they should be done before Thanksgiving at this point. Minor. They're small, but, Anyway, that's what I got.
Okay, I really don't have anything. Business is going as usual. All is well. Certainly nothing negative to report. I guess the only thing to touch on is that our third Class 3 officer is now up and running. All three of the Class 3 officers have gotten their waivers, fully outfitted. They're all in the school working. Lockers came in yesterday. So that program is really off the ground. The school did require, the contract requires a Class 3 to be there until 5 o'clock for overlap, but my understanding is the school is asking that they end at 4 o'clock so that we have more officers during school hours. All I asked of Tom Hash, our school resource officer, was to have the school let us know so that down the road we don't, you know, we're not accused of not honoring the contract. But honestly, aside from that, there is nothing to report. Everything's going well.
The two new officers are doing well. The new
not this
class three. The
understood. The officer that we hired before the last officer is now off of field training. He's up and running. So there's another body we have on a squad. And then the last officer that we hired, Christopher Ramos, I mean, what I've heard is he's done very well. It seems like he's doing really well, and it sounds like he's also going to be off the field training very soon. So that's really good news in terms of having qualified, and trained power. Bodies. Yes, absolutely.
Good. Did have one other thing for our zoning enforcement. We are, Tom's on top of it. We've had 17 violations to date. 6 have paid their fines. 4 have gotten summonses to meet the judge, and he's out there. At least twice a week. That was the first one.
Summons? First summons.
Summons.
No, they're probably going to go to court.
Yeah.
Because it's a holding company, all that other stuff. But he's on top of that.
Have we let that neighbor know?
Yes, I wrote him a note and heard back from him. So he's in Dutch, both from a property maintenance perspective.
Both from a property, both because of our new ordinance and then the old property maintenance one with the 10-inch high grass limit. So I think we'll be in court probably for both.
And I have one thing for executive when we get there.
Oh, yeah. That's it. So we can move on to our work session with... a man from JCP&L to tell us.
Do you need me to sit at the table?
The mic will pick it up.
Yeah.
There, I think. Pick it up. Sit there. Or
sit there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Why not? We won't give you the third degree.
You won't give me the third degree?
There are some handouts here for the public if you'd like to follow along.
Oh.
Good evening. I'll wait till the public gets the flyer. And basically, I'm going to summarize that, but that's good information, and hopefully you all had a chance to read that. Stan Prater, Jersey Central Power and Light. I am the area representative for Clinton Township, and I wanted to just come in and talk a little bit about the filing that we made with the Board of Public Utilities about a month ago. We're looking to invest over $400 million over 4 years into our infrastructure. This is an accelerated reliability plan. We are not the only utility that has filed a plan. PSE&G has filed their own plan, Atlantic City Electric, and I believe Orange and Rockland. Those are the utilities that serve New Jersey. We are, of course, your provider for Clinton Township. And over the 4 years, that investment will involve four major things. We identified over 4,000 items throughout our service territory, but for Clinton Township specifically, the first thing is tree trimming. During outages and back in March, when we had a nor'easter come through, we were out for 7 to 10 days. I don't know how long you were out here. And then we had another little nor'easter come through in May. And this is going back towards Sandy, is that we're looking to invest and get more latitude and more leverage in clearance authority with tree trimming. We invest about $25 to $30 million a year in tree trimming. So what we're looking to do is out of this $400 million, about $105 million is allocated for tree trimming. So we're basically looking at doubling our tree trimming efforts. So what we're looking to do is when we cycle tree trim every 4 years. So if we start at the Clinton substation, our specs basically say we'll go ground to sky. We'll do all overhang to the first protective device or the first fuse. So let's say that fuse goes out for about a mile. What we want to do is get extended coverage on what we call the backbone. We want to go right down the main circuit and get clearances on all three-phase laterals or fuses right up until the end of the circuit. And so that will give us what we call, you know, and it's a capital investment. We normally don't clear ground to sky, but we're asking the board to give us that latitude so that we can prevent outages. Most of the outages over the storms, over these nor'easters, came from trees. We're in a tree area. The other thing we're looking to do is get clearances on danger tree and hazard trees. Emerald boar ash came in from Asia, has affected the ash trees. Those trees are going to be very brittle. They're going to start to come down in the next 10 years. We're going to be working with property owners for off right-of-way trees that are not within our radius, because we have a certain radius that we can cut either right or left of our distribution circuits. We're going to see if we can get them to sign off to allow us to take those trees down. We're not treating them to remediate them. We're taking them down because they are a hazard. We had two fatalities out in our Ohio region. They went to climb the tree, and the tree becomes so brittle on the inside is that they just basically they crack and they break, and we've had two fatalities. So we're looking to remove those trees. We're also looking to install something called a trip saver. When we do mutual assistance, we were down in Florida about a year ago, and our guys went down for a safety briefing, because when you go to a different area, you have to be briefed on the equipment that they use. Not all the equipment's the same. This trip saver is being used down in Florida, and what it does is it's a smart fuse where we can install it within our infrastructure, existing infrastructure. And if there's a trip on a fuse, what happens is typically if a branch hits a wire, that's a fault. It causes the fuse to open up. What happens is a lot of times these branches fall off. And so these fuses will automatically close back in, bringing customers back in before we even have to send a troubleshooter or a crew out. So we're looking at installing over 2,000 of these. And we've analyzed the area. We looked at and see how often a fuse opens and closes for the last couple years. So if that fuse has opened and closed, let's say, 3 or 4 times over the last, on average, over the last 3 years, we know that there's a problem in that particular area. So we've identified those types of locations.
And this is different than the traditional recloser, you know, three strikes?
This is different than the traditional recloser. So the automation is similar. Mm-hmm. But what happens is it works like a recloser, but there'll be more on the system. Okay, so it works basically like a recloser.
It's almost like a thermal fuse, you know, it'll cool down and then come back, or
no, it doesn't cool down and come back. It's a timing mechanism.
Okay.
It senses a fault, just like a fault in your house. If you've got water to go in your basement, it goes into your fuse box, it's going to detect the fault. The breaker's going to open up because that's a safety device, mm-hmm. to protect your house. Same concept. What happens is on timing, it's going to time for about 10, 15, 20 seconds and say, okay, whatever the problem is, it may have self-corrected or cleared itself. I'm going to close back in. But if it senses the fault that's still there, it's going to open back up again.
Okay.
Does it tell your control center that event took place, that it was repaired, so they can...
That's the smart piece about it, yes. So we know exactly where fused open up. Now we'd have to go out to look at the line and see that the reclosure opened up. Exactly right. Exactly right. So we're looking at installing that type of technology, as well as doing some replacing some equipment in our substation. A lot of the switches and the fuses, most of the switches in the substation, some of them are oil filled. So if you have a flash, if you have a fault, it could be very dangerous, very unsafe. And so what we're doing is putting a vacuum switches in now. We're taking the oil filled switches out of those circuits in the substations. The other thing that we're doing is something called a loop scheme. This is also part of smart technology. Loop schemes will, if you ever see an email and said that we were able to restore X amount of customers via switching, what that means is that we will go out in the field and we'll look to see if there's a tie point where we can tie a circuit to a switch point to back feed a circuit. Loop schemes will be automatically set up in the field so that they will sense where there's a fault and do that configuration of tying automatically without us having to go out in the field. So we've identified some areas that we can install that loop scheme or that smart technology, and we want to install those as well. So those are the four major areas. I've been going out to most of the areas that I cover here in Hunterdon and Warren County, and most of the municipalities, if not all, have supported us with either a letter of support or a resolution. There is going to be a public hearing that the Board of Public Utilities is going to be offering in Morristown on October 15th for public comment. And again, what we want to do is be able to present these resolutions or letters to the board to say that these municipalities, these nonprofits, local businesses are in favor of us doing this work. That comes at a cost because it is a capital improvement. We will the average increase on a residential customer that uses approximately 700 kilowatt hours a month will be 25 cents for the first 6 months. It will escalate up to $1.87 for the 4-year period. So we'll so the way this works is that we'll put in a plan to the board. This is the work we've done. We're going to pay for it up front before we actually get a rate increase. Here's our receipts. They'll review the receipts, they'll review the work, they'll grant the increase, and then we'll do that year by year up to year four.
And then after year four, the rate reverts?
It does not sunset. There is, and I have to get back with you on this, I believe it's going to depreciate through the life of the equipment, so it will probably go out somewhere between 10 to 15 years, but I'm not sure about that.
That's the same $1.87.
Yeah, I think the $1.87 just won't sunset after 4 years, but I have to get some clarification on that. If this gets approved, we'll come back and give you some more information on that because there's some I'm just not clear on that, but I do know it does not sunset after the 4 years.
That $400 million over 4 years that JCP&L is going to spend,
mm-hmm.
that is for the entire population of your serviced areas?
Yes.
So just give me a ballpark. About what percentage are we in Clinton Township?
I don't know. This is what I would
plan. You don't know a ballpark? Hunterdon
no.
County and Warren County. Ballpark?
I don't.
Because if let's say we're a million of that, not a great deal for us.
Well, when you look at it from that perspective, no. But okay. The way we analyze... So
that's important data then for us.
Understood. But yeah. What happens is if I tell you get 1% of that or 0.5% of that or less than $1 million, let's say, to you that looks like that you're not getting your fair share of the dollar. But the way we looked at this from a engineering perspective, we looked at it and said, okay, you know, what areas need the most in tree trimming, what areas need the most in trip savers based on historical outage data, because this plan is for resiliency and also for outage restoration duration, for quicker duration. So we looked at it from that perspective, not so much that we're going to give each town, this town gets more money than this town. We looked at it from a historical outage perspective.
Are you suggesting then that the work has been analyzed as far as where you're going to put these dollars based on duration of outage as well?
Yeah. So we look
areas that have heavy duration, long duration outages, which would be Sussex, Warren,
not necessarily.
And it, Monmouth.
Not necessarily. Monmouth doesn't have the trees as we have up here in Hunterdon County. So what's going to happen, Hunterdon County is going to benefit tremendously just from the tree budget because of the amount of trees that you have up here. The emerald borer ash is in Hunterdon County. You're going to get advantages based on us removing hazard trees and ash trees. So what I would do if this gets approved, I'd sit down and go over the plan with you as to what we plan to do year by year. But right now I couldn't tell you percent dollar-wise or percentage-wise. We have identified things that we want to do here, but again, it's too premature for me to even get involved technically with that or to tell you what the spend is.
So the last couple of weeks, there's a lot of tree trimming that I've been seeing on a couple of roads here in Clinton Township. Is that part of this plan, or is that something different?
It is not. This is over and above our cycle tree
trimming. This has not yet started.
That's right.
Part of this plan.
Yeah, it has to be approved by the Board of Public Utilities.
So anything we're seeing right now, something that's going on, is your normal operations, your normal tree trimming as far as the cycles go.
That's correct. That's correct. Yep.
Are there any improvements, I guess, planned for your communication apparatus? Because that was a very large gap in prior storms that we've had.
where incorrect information was supplied to residents who relied on that information.
Actually, as mayor, you weren't getting that most accurate information, were you?
Well, no, at some point they just stopped.
Well, they had to pull the plug on it because in many instances, at least the ones people complained about, of course, the forecasted restoration was much quicker than it actually happened. And I'm not sure the technical reasons for it, but there was a lot of frustration. You know, I would participate in those mayor's phone calls, and not us quite so much, but gosh, up in parts of Morris County and then Warren and Sussex. There were some pretty irate mayors up there. I thought that had been corrected, but please go on.
This plan does not specifically address this, but yes, one of the problems was our internal callback system. People were getting robocalls and saying your power is going to be back on this time.
Or in some cases, they would be called and told. There was a resident, a senior, no less, 90-some-odd years old, who got a call from JCPenney that said your power is back on.
Right.
And it wasn't.
Yes, yes. So we have addressed that internally outside of this plan. But the other thing is that if you remember, there was public hearings that the board had. And they came out with, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the recommendations. And some of those recommendations will be mandatory for not just Jersey Central, but for all energy service company. That communication piece that you mentioned is in there in terms of remediation. Yes.
How do you make your electricity?
We buy it on the open market.
And how do they make it? Natural gas?
Coal-fired is our main source. There's hydro. There's solar. There's wind. So we buy it on the open market through the PGM, Pennsylvania, Jersey, and Maryland is the clearinghouse for generation here in New Jersey. We're a distribution company. We've divested of all of our generation pretty much. So we buy on the open market, and we sell to our customers. And customers can buy from a third party. But as a provider of last resort, we have the obligation to serve you with generation.
It's curious. When it comes to storms like that, you have one representative that deals with our mayor, just for Clinton Township.
Mm-hmm.
And were you satisfied with that? I mean, were you getting the communications you needed?
Well, it was.
So they're just isolating our situation, what road was being worked on.
That was kind of a combination of JCP&L and the police department.
Oh, okay.
You know, in terms of which roads were open, which roads were closed, when did they get opened. It wasn't perfect, but forgive me, I can't remember the name of the woman.
Was it Maria Cecil that had?
Yeah. She was seconded down to the county OEM.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, she got me out of bed a few mornings with the news of the morning. That was a very, very good thing they did, because then you had a JCP&L person that had the information coming in from DPW and police crews around the county, and they could compare that. She could take that and compare it to what JCP&L was showing on their system in terms of loads, which is really how you sense whether you got electricity or not.
I believe there were emails too.
Oh yeah.
Email listing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we bring in reps. Maria's out of our central region, so they didn't get hit as hard as us the last storm, so she was brought up to assist me, and I divide my area up, you know, accordingly, because there's no way that I can communicate with 40 mayors and, you know, committees and council people. But a lot of that is really centered around Hunterdon County OEM and the information being disseminated through them and then out back to your OEM coordinator and your mayor.
It's, you know, it's really hard when you get down in the system past transmission down into distribution and some of the stuff that you just mentioned, I'm very glad to hear, you know, the changes that you're making. I was going to go to the public hearing. I had a kidney problem that night and didn't make it all the way. But particularly, you know, I'll get down to the maybe too much detail, but parts of David Post, which was quite a noisy part of the township, a lot of people calling and complaining and wondering.
Well, they were the ones that were out the longest, I believe.
Well, yeah.
So,
except for the Stanton Mountain.
Well, but they were out
their it appeared that their power came down from points north.
Yes.
I mean, a good ways north.
And there were definitely tree limbs down up that
way. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was destruction. There were trees down. Brian actually took photos.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, but down at the far southern end of that run, it was like a 50-foot gap between an energized line and the neighbors that were very upset. You know, so this idea that you're going to sectionalize and backfeed sections mm-hmm. makes perfect sense, because I know after the storms I'm intimately familiar with the distribution to my neighborhood. And again, it's a very long, skinny run
mm-hmm.
with two poles that are separated by the street I live on. One is energy and one doesn't, you know? So the idea that you can do that switching...
But will we get that equipment is the question that I think we have.
Yeah.
Is that equipment coming out our way, or are we just getting the pre-trimming?
Well, that's what I said. We've identified more than just tree trimming for Clinton Township. So if we get this approved, I'll come back and sit down and cover exactly what the plan is for.
So in your estimation, it will improve service and reliability and resiliency
mm-hmm.
for the township.
Yes. Yes.
Just along those lines, on May the 12th, we had an after-action meeting regarding the nor'easter, and we discussed a lot of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I could share my notes with you if you're interested, but I think we've covered everything. And certainly Maria and the Office of Emergency Management, John Tiger,
mm-hmm.
you were there, Jess, and we talked about the communication and the liaison. So I think everything that we had discussed in that meeting had been addressed, and we're at a better place in terms of the communication and the protocol. But if you want, I can share my notes and maybe we can go back over them, you know, in the next week or so. And maybe now would be a good time to bring forth any concerns that were left open.
I think I want to chime in too. Having been, you know, in the military, you have a great plan, and then the balloon goes up and the plan starts to. And a lot of the times, working with John in this last storm, Cokesbury Califon Road is open. Yay. Lines are cleared. Well, and a tree comes down 300 feet later and it's back out again.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have no control of. So we're getting reports from your person in the county saying it's back. Tiger and the police are off. Well, is it not out? It's out again. Or my public works guys will go out and say there's still a tree in the road with a line on it. They're not going to touch anything until the line's clear. So there's a lot of moving parts,
yeah,
is what I'm trying to
right.
tell you. And I know from this last exercise or this last event, there were a lot of those. It's back, it's not back. You know, the trees fell down, cleared it, and then another tree fell down. So, you know, we just have to keep improving, and I think we're doing that.
Yeah.
And the big trees, you know, some of the big trees, particularly over in that neighborhood, were huge. And nobody around here could take care of them. They had to get outside help to come and cut those trees up. So... they won't start until the trees clear. You know, it's kind of.
Oh yeah.
So it's not an easy fix.
In Cokesbury Village, all the way out to 513, it was a mess.
Yeah.
It looked like a war zone. Yeah.
Just found out the hard way.
Yeah. 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 So.
You know, and I would say too, it's a sign of the times, I guess. A good percentage of the complaints, the most emotional ones, were about Comcast and internet service. Electricity they could do without because they have generators. You know, where's my internet? I can't work from home. So we have seen some changes, not major ones, but I've seen a couple of installations on the part of Comcast, battery cabinets now down on the ground, which give them a longer, you know, life in the case of an interruption, but also they're nice low-level hookups. There was a little truck that would come out from my neighborhood and climb up a ladder, take a little red generator off the box, put some gas in,
yeah.
put it back up on top. So they're trying to, from what I could see, fix some of those situations. So if we do have another prolonged outage, we've got more battery backup time, plus better hookups for generators. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. And if there's anything you guys can do in terms of a resolution or a letter, we would to help support. To support the plan, we appreciate it. And I could send you a copy of a draft. I just got Clinton just approved theirs last night,
sure.
and
so we appreciate it. We'll take a look.
And you need that for a meeting on October 15th.
Yeah, that we want to go into the public hearing to submit that to the Board of Public Utilities. Yes.
Has anyone not given you the letter yet?
I have no. No one's basically said no.
But there's some letters you don't have, maybe.
No, I mean it's you know, people support us, but we just haven't gotten letters from every municipality. Yeah. So.
Well, send us a template and a little bit of information.
Yeah.
And an assurance that we're going to get our fair share of smart fuses.
Well, I can't give you any more information other than, you know, once it gets approved, I will come back. I do promise that, to sit down with you specifically to talk about the plan for Clinton Township.
Once the board approves it, regardless of what we do, it's going to happen anyway.
If the board approves, yes. Yeah. But we've identified in all of our communities enhancements. So it's not like somebody's going without enhancements.
Thank you very much.
And Miniman, Malay, I heard congratulations in order. I heard your wife was named Hunterdon County Teacher of the Year.
Thank you very much.
So congratulations. The word was on the street. And
literally.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your time.
Take care now. That odious time of night we have to pay our bills. Are there any questions on them?
Oh, we skipped something.
Oh, darn it. Did I do that again?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know you're in a hurry.
Actually, I just skipped it. Next item up on the agenda is the adoption of an ordinance 1121-18. It's an ordinance of the Township of Clinton, further amending Chapter 165. I don't think I need to read the complete title, but it would create the AH 8 affordable housing zoning. And we had a discussion earlier tonight, and with the developer in question, the changes to the zoning ordinance are going to be fairly substantial, so we will have to start the process over again. The target is that we will introduce a new version of this ordinance at our next council meeting. So, Trishka, do I have to say anything more than that? Is there?
Well, I think, Mayor, what the council needs to do is just continue the public hearing to the October 10th meeting at 7 p.m. without further notice, and then I'm anticipating that on October 10th you'll introduce revisions to the ordinance.
That's correct.
Would it be proper form to entertain public comment now?
Yes, you certainly can. It would just be with the caveat that
things will change.
The ordinance is likely to have a lot of changes, so the public may want to hold comments until they see the revisions, but they're certainly welcome to comment on what's been introduced.
If anyone, in fairness, we did speak to some of the folks that we knew would have comments, and they left earlier, but are any members of the public remaining with comments
with
questions?
Changes impact the other ordinances?
No, it's strictly this one.
Right.
Strictly this one.
And to be frank, I think some of those changes will address some of the concerns residents raised at our last meeting.
That's correct. Yeah, I think they'll go a pretty good ways to satisfying some of the concerns that were expressed.
So I'll move to continue the public hearing to October the 10th, was it?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you. Now we can pay the bills. And are there any questions or comments or concerns?
I have none.
I make a motion, we pay the bills.
I'll second it.
Councilwoman Swetley?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malloy?
I'm sorry, yes. Can I answer for you?
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm in a hurry.
All right. The next item is public comment. Are there any comments from the remaining members of the public? Mr. Shaw.
Richard Shaw, 2 Pine Tree Drive. I have one comment, and all of a sudden I have two, I'm afraid. Sorry. the first, what I thought was going to be a comment, was to follow up from what Councilman Malay and Mayor Higgins were talking about the quiet zones on the train stations and the prospect of the residents putting in some money. And that ultimately, as you observed, Mr. Mullane, that this would have to come down to grant money because it was hundreds of thousands of dollars per crossing. And at the time, a few months ago when this was discussed, it might have been Mr. Hurt, the guy who was here talking. I'm not sure if it was the same guy, but he was saying that it wasn't the same guy.
Okay. That's the engineer who would do the report.
It was the engineer. Okay, yeah. Good. But that these grants are given out primarily based on the overall impact to how many people, and that, you know, these crossings we have here are in the tens or maybe 100 people, and you're going up against Clark and Iselin and places like that where they have tens of thousands of people affected. And I kind of got the idea that it was going to die a natural death. But has there been some further discussion that we may have more of a chance to get those grants if we proceed?
The first steps were to define the process and get an idea of the actions that could be taken to ameliorate the situation. And to go further, we need more expertise than
sure.
people like myself and the concerned residents. So we've had a couple of meetings with ourselves, and then this last one where we had the guy from the state who really is in charge of these kinds of matters for all the crossings in the state. He's an expert at the machinery. He's not an expert at grants. So the way to fully define this situation and bring it to a conclusion one way or the other, either we proceed forward and we work together with the neighbors to process a grant application or applications, or we just stop right here.
Mm-hmm. Is it? We're still going to run into the law of large numbers where we don't.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a good idea to get that information. I understand. Thank you. I did have a second comment that I didn't know I was going to make based on the discussion from the JCP&L person. Speaking as one of the residents who has not dropped JCP&L and will continue to stick by them, the changes they're talking about making are absolutely critical, and they're the sorts of things, frankly, that any organization with knowledge of switching and responsibilities like this should have been doing over the last 10 to 15 years. So it's great that they're doing that, and you may want to consider doing that resolution. I do just want to offer an opinion that if that resolution goes so far as implying that you endorse the rate increase rather than the technology upgrade, that's a different thing. Because what they were saying was that they were going to have a rate increase that paid over some number of years for the entire $400 million of capital, paying for the depreciation on that and everything. And then they're going to keep on charging it. And in every case, and I've been involved in running any number of business cases and programs for maintenance upgrades and installing smart switching, the smart switching more than pays for itself in period due to reduced maintenance costs. And I'm sure you all have at least a visceral understanding of that. You know, you don't need the number of people, you don't need the number of dispatchers.
Or the duration of an outage is shorter, so the cost of
that's right.
Is, yep.
That's right. And so there's also the fact that these people who are reselling stuff further from JCP&L are also going to get hit with their fair share of this rate increase. So in any case, I would just. You may want to consider to what extent your resolution endorses the technology upgrade but stays away from expressing an opinion on the rate increase of $1.87 per household
ad infinitum.
Over ad infinitum, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Those are my exact sentiments, Rich. Plus, the price of electricity is going down.
Mm-hmm. I must say,
they want us to pay for their productivity improvements, whereas productivity should pay for those improvements.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Rich said.
Mm-hmm. They are going to take the productivity improvements. They'll get rid of
them. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Our next item is an executive session. Since this was not on the published agenda, I guess I have to read it in full. Okay. Be it resolved that the mayor and council will now convene in a closed session that will be limited only to consideration of items with respect to which the public may be excluded pursuant to Section 7B of the Open Public Meetings Act. The general nature of the subject to be discussed in this session is as follows. Potential acquisition of property for open space and other public purposes. Collective negotiations with the Fraternal Order of Police bargaining units. It's unknown precisely when the matters discussed in this session will be disclosed to the public. Other matters may be made public when the need for confidentiality no longer exists. No action will be taken in closed session, and no action will be taken following the closed session. So could I have a motion to go into executive session?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.
Carl, you want to hit the button?
Do we need a resolution, a motion to come back into regular session? Or?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Okay, we're back. It's about 8:25. We're back in regular session. Talking about the League of Municipalities.
We don't need to talk about that.
All right.
I'll make a motion to end this meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? All right. Thank you all.